assuming the obvious that somebody gets themselves out of debt.
Okay.
What do you do next?
Well, Raleigh, I think we're looking at a mega move in a 200-year commodity cycle that I think a lot of people are not aware of and should be aware of. We've had only five mega moves in the commodity cycle within the last 200 years. I'd like to name them briefly for your listening audience. We had the first mega move was the War of 1812. We had the second one, the Civil War. Third one, World War One. Fourth one, World War Two in Korea. Fifth one being the Cold War. And now the sixth one that is now underway is the War on Terror. Typically, commodity bull markets last anywhere from 15 to 20 years. This one here is currently now completing its seventh year. So I think at a minimum, Raleigh, we got at least another decade here of rising commodity prices.
Okay, now with that in mind, obviously the War of 1812, Civil War One and Two, and to an extent the Cold War. But
right.
when we're talking about our quote unquote war on terror or invading Iraq or what have you, this doesn't seem in many ways to have the same ramifications as say World War Two. So is it the war on terror that's fueling it, or is it just time?
Well, I think when we talk about the war on terror and we talk about this being the sixth mega move within the 200-year cycle, we're talking about the cycle starting right around the time that the war on terror began.
Okay. So, but do you think, again, because when you really look at it, obviously we're sitting here with unsecured borders and everything else.
Absolutely.
If we're looking at 9/11 as the starting point, other than the the magnitude of it, and of course you look at the Patriot Act that nobody thinks was written on September 12th. At least I hope they don't. And the ramifications of that, you don't normally think about that pushing an economic turnaround. But that said, I must admit that I'm the idiot who pulled out of the market the day we invaded Iraq. So we know that I have absolutely no sense in this. And I should have realized, oh, war, market's going to go up. So I think there is a correlation when we're talking about such events. But that said, when we talk about the commodity markets, I assume we're talking about gold, silver, palladium, platinum.
Well, we're talking about the globalization of the world economies, and we're talking about the continual industrialization of China and India. And we're in, I believe, still the very early phases of them building out their infrastructures, and I think we have at a minimum, again, another decade of that ahead of us. I think when we look at China and India and we try to correlate what is going on there with history, I think we have to go back and certainly witness what took place in the Japanese economy in the 60s and 70s, and then more importantly, what took place with the industrialization of manufacturing America in the 30s and 40s. That's exactly where China and India currently are.
Okay. And, of course, to an extent, China and India are in part dependent upon our dollar.
Yes,
because if you look at who's buying the goods or who the call centers are being manned for, it all comes back to it. So as the dollar loses its value, how does it impact these emerging markets?
Well, I think we're going to see higher prices worldwide, and I still believe we're in the very early phase of a massive bull market in gold and oil, which will continue. You know, we're making new highs in gold, we're making new highs in oil, but I don't believe we're anywhere near what the final highs will be in these commodities if investors have a long-term horizon and they can understand globalization and what it's going to mean with the shortages of the necessary things that are going to be required to complete and build out the infrastructure of these two southeastern countries.
Gold in particular is an interesting commodity because, of course, when you say you're buying gold, nobody goes out and buys quote-unquote gold. They're buying a product, some product on the gold market.
Yes.
These products, as you well know, some of them have a commission rate in excess of 80%.
Yes.
Others, they may look great when you're hearing about this foreign coin, but they don't have a universal valuation. So when you go to sell it, God knows how much money you'll get for your gold. So these are problems I'm sure you know. You've done a lot of arbitration and stuff like that. But when I hear some of the ads on television and radio, not to name anything, I will say that I cringe because I wonder how many people who say, oh, I should buy gold, have any understanding what they're buying or why they're buying it.
You are right. People are basically lazy. They don't perform their due diligence. They don't do their homework. you know, they want to get in and try to make a fast buck, and they really don't understand not only the risks of the market, but more importantly, when you look at these markets and you look at the opportunities that they strongly represent, you have to come into these markets with a minimum horizon of 3 to 5 years and possibly longer. And what we've seen here with the mentality of investors just over the last 10 years, it's a very short-term mentality. People want to come in, buy something today, and sell it tomorrow. That's not how you come in any market, I believe, and make serious money anyway.
No, I agree with that. Well, that's the difference between investing and speculating, obviously.
Yes.
And when you're in a situation like the housing market where things are just going up and up, and you see the stock market going up and up, and you're buying derivatives, God forbid, then you're looking at a situation where you're gambling and you're speculating. But, of course, when you're talking commodities, you hopefully are investing. But even that said, one size does not fit all. The other thing that's concerning to some people is, of course, FDR in 33 confiscated gold.
Yes, he did.
What's the likelihood that would happen again?
Well, I don't think it's likely now, and the reason I believe that is we probably have less than 1% of the investing public right now owning gold. You know, even though we've seen a tremendous move in these markets, you know, from roughly the 250 area in 99, and we tested it again in 2001, people are basically looking at this and they're saying, well, you know, we're back to the 1980-81 high of 850. You know, I missed the market. It's too late to get on board. I really don't understand gold, and I'm fully invested in the U.S. equity markets, and I'd rather not step in at these prices and take the risk. So I think until such time as we get the public committed to want to be part of the precious metals markets, these markets, I believe, have huge upside. You know, if you look at 850 gold and you figure in inflation, we'd have to have gold selling at around 2150 to equal 1980-850. So I think we're a long way from there. I think there's a tremendous opportunity here. You know, if you're prudent, if you can set aside a portion of, you know, the assets that you want to put to work and you have a long-term horizon, and I think furthermore you understand there's going to be periods of extreme volatility in all these markets. You know, we're witnessing it in the equity markets now. We're going to see it in oil. At some point we will get a pullback in oil. I think it'll be quite significant. We're probably going to see a pretty hefty sell-off in the precious metals, you know, once that market sells off as well. So I think people have to get comfortable with volatility. They have to understand long-term investing. And I think they have to have the mindset that they certainly need a hedge against inflation.